Welcome to the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast, where we untangle the past, rewrite the present, and reclaim our future. I am your host, Tammy Vincent, and together we will break free from old patterns, heal wounds, and create new narratives. Are you ready to transform the effects of your dysfunctional past into your superpowers? Are you excited to get back in touch with your true, authentic self? If so, then hit subscribe and join me weekly on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. Here we will learn from experts as well as experienced thrivers how to turn our trials into smiles while living our most authentic and joyful lives. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome again to another episode of Adult Child of Dysfunction. Today we have with us Richard, the comeback coach, Kaufman. His bio is very simple. I read it and I just kind of giggled because everybody else has all this to say. And he sums it up so beautifully when he just says from dope dealer to hope dealer. So welcome, Richard.
Thank you so much for having me on. I love it. This is one of my favorite shows. So thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. So tell everybody a little bit about your story and then let's just chat. I think people want to know how you went from the dope dealer to hope dealer.
Well, I grew up in an addicted household, and obviously this is where it all comes from. Mom was an addict. Dad left at 3 months old. Thank God my mom's clean 30 years now. I think she's clean 30 years. So thank God for that. I had my first drink at 11, full-blown alcoholic by age 13, thrown out of high school. Joined the military because I figured, hey, you know what? It's either jail or the military. And I did both. I got went to jail and joined the military, got thrown out for being an addict. Almost did 5 years in prison for grand larceny. But somebody saved me. And we could talk about that. I got back in the military. Was due to be thrown out for the second time, but the morning of September 11th changed my whole life and changed the direction of my life. Got back in the military, went from worst to first, from the worst soldier to sergeant to a soldier of the year. And then after 23 years, I got hurt on duty and lost my eyesight.
Oh, wow.
And I, at that point, I got medically discharged Labor Day 2012. I attempted suicide that day, but thank God my six-month-old daughter saved my life that day. And from that moment on, it's just been trying to help people, let them know that, hey, you know, your past does not dictate your future. And like my T-shirt says, today I decide. So today I decide if I'm going to be a victim or if I'm going to be victorious. So that's my whole thing is let people know, hey, I've been there, done that, literally got the T-shirt, literally wrote the book on addiction. And now I'm just trying to provide some hope and let people know, hey, you know, it's not where you're from. It's where you end up.
Amen. So what's your book called? Or are you mean you wrote the book in general?
No, I literally wrote the book. It's called A Hero's Journey from Darkness to Light. It's a two-time number one top-selling book, all because of Mr. Gary Vaynerchuk. He made me write the book. And so, you know, for me, it's just providing hope and letting people know, you know, no matter where you're at, you know, everybody loves a comeback story. And it's just your day. If whoever's watching this, it's your day to come back. So today's your day.
Absolutely. There is no coming back. I mean, and like you said, it's a choice. You can wake up every morning and you can decide to be happy. You can decide to be angry. You can decide to move on from what happened and deal with it, or you can decide to wallow in it. And I get that. It's hard when you're there, though. So tell us about you. You made a comment. One that really kind of struck with me was that your six-month-old daughter saved your life. Tell me about that.
Well, what happened was, you know, after getting the military, giving me my life, my like 600th chance. And then to finally turn my career around and to be Sergeant Kaufman, you know, did everything I could to become the ultimate soldier. And then to get hurt and not be able to see, and then to lose your career because you can't see, you can't shoot. for me, no matter what job you have, we all have a shelf life. And a lot of people, including myself, we get so used to being that thing, you know, whatever that job is, that's who you are. When somebody asks you, who are you? The first thing we say is, well, I'm a firefighter, whatever your job is. Well, that's not who you are. That's what you do. And for me, I didn't know the difference, you know, that there's Sergeant Kaufman and then there's a Richard. Well, I didn't know who Richard was. And it scared me to death because now I don't have a career anymore. I don't have a vision. My vision's almost gone. So what do I, you know, what do I do now? And I figured, you know, because if I died on duty, my wife would get like $500,000 if I died on duty. Right. And my and that was the last day of my duty. And so I figured, you know what, if I took myself out, at least, you know, my wife and my kids will be taken care of. So what happened was I planned on, because in New Jersey, I'm from Jersey, and on the highways, there's nothing but concrete pylons everywhere. So I figured I'd get in my truck, get up to 100 miles an hour, put on the cruise control, put on the radio, and just drift until I hit a concrete barrier. And I called my wife. Now, my wife is my bride. She's my everything. Known her 40 years. She's my best friend. And I called and I said, because I was supposed to meet her at the shore that day. And I'm like, honey, because it was Labor Day. I said, honey, I'm on my way. And it's weird when you talk to somebody, and I'm sure everybody, if somebody's ever lost somebody that's passed, when you talk to them for the last time. But for me, I knew I was going to talk. I was never going to talk to her again. I was never going to see my two boys or my 6-month-old daughter again. And I just told her I loved her and I've always loved her. And I told her I'm on my way, and I got in the car. I got in the truck and I did 100 miles an hour. Exactly what I said. I put on the cruise control. I turned on the radio and I took my hands off the wheel because I knew it's my time. And, you know, when you're driving and you're on the side of the road and you see the little yellow things and you're click, 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 click when you're about to go off the road.
The rumble strips. I heard that.
Yeah, I heard that. And I knew I was probably 3 seconds from death. And now I don't know why I had country music on. I'm not a big country guy. I'm a metal guy. I'm a heavy metal. I'm Five Finger Death Punch. But I had country music on, and the song by Clint Black came on. I think it was Clint Black. And it was called I Saw God Today. And it was about a man that sees his baby for the first time. And I started visualizing the first time I changed, because I was the first one to ever change my daughter's diaper. I was the first one to ever feed her. And at that moment, I decided, to where the t-shirt came, I decided, you know, I can either be a husband, a father, or I could be a statistic. And that's the moment where I decided I want to be a daddy. I want to be a husband. And I jerked the car, and thank God I didn't hit anybody. I called my wife. I told her what happened. Obviously, she was pissed off. you know, but I told her, I'm like, honey, you know, if I don't get help this weekend, I'm probably going to go home and eat my gun. And she said, you know what? She said, I got you. I got your back. So she didn't let me out of her sight for that weekend. And on that Tuesday is when they checked me into the VA. And I see my therapist for the first time. So if it wasn't for my 6-month-old daughter, I don't think I would be here today. And if it wasn't for that song, I wouldn't be here today. So, you know, God works in different ways. And that was the way he touched me. So sorry, I get emotional.
Okay. I'm sorry. It isn't amazing how those 3 seconds seem to probably last a lifetime. Just how much stuff you can think of. I remember getting in an accident one time and my car was spinning. And I remember thinking, man, I don't even have time to sing that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. As I was spinning around and it seemed like forever. I'm like, ooh. And literally what happened, you probably happened in a split second. but so much. And it, you're right. He does work in mysterious ways. So you went to therapy. You have, you know, you've gone through a lot. You, I mean, crazy, your stories of just the 11, you know, going back and starting drinking at 11 years old. Were you drinking with your parents?
No. What happened? What happened was my family went out, or my mom and dad went out for New Year's. And of course, it was me and my two cousins. We're like, we raided the liquor cabinet. And the funny thing is they had their drink and they went to bed. And I'm like, I'm 11 years old. And I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, because I knew that once I took that drink, I was no longer Richard. I was Rick. You know, I became a whole other person. So I knew that, you know, if I was sober, I mean, I wasn't thinking sober, you know, using those words, but that back then, but I knew that, you know, if I had a drink, I didn't have to be no longer that quiet, shy, depressed, anxious kid. I could be that outgoing party guy, and that could be the Rick, like Gary Vee talks about all the time, is I could be Rick. And that's when it really started, you know, and for my first drink, that was it. It was a roller coaster from that moment on. And at age 13, I'm drinking, you know, 2/5 of Sambuca and a case of beer a day.
Wow.
At 13.
Going to school or trying to go to.
I quit at the age of 20. I haven't had a drink since 1989.
Wow.
I drank more than most people do in their career before I was even able to drink. And I think, you know, God, that was another God, you know, I was looking at 5 years for grand larceny. And the guy I robbed was a police officer. And he said, you know, I'm going to give you a chance. I don't know why I'm giving you a chance, but you got to give me my money back in 24 hours, which I begged and I borrowed and I paid it all back. But he said, you got to go to 90 meetings of AA in 90 days. I had 300 meetings in a row. And I haven't had a drink since January 2nd, 1989. I haven't had anything stronger than an aspirin. So for me, you know, God, I see, or he's always there for me. There's always an angel for me. Even I don't know. And I wish I knew the guy's name now, because I would take him out for the biggest steak, lobster, whatever he wanted. I'd take him out because he literally saved my life. And a lot of people don't realize that there's angels in your life. You're just not listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's people out there to give you a chance, you know, the people out there. And that's why when you're struggling, I try to tell people there's people out there that got your back. You know, not everybody is going to be mad, and we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes, especially when you're drinking and drugging and doing all those mind altering things. You do stupid things.
And I mean, unfortunately, sometimes it's the people that are around you that are not going to support you. Because not everybody in your boat is rowing with you. Some of them are actually poking holes in the bottom of the boat. So sometimes you got to really think, you know, are these people around me, are they for me, or are they just there to talk shit about? Because a lot of people just want to talk shit about you. And I'm from an Italian family. We talk shit about each other. But, you know, you have to realize, you know, getting sober is probably one of the hardest things you can ever do, because it's everywhere. No matter what, if you grew up German, Italian, Irish, everywhere, literally, and it's in everything you eat or drink. Stuff you don't even think about. Nobody thinks about Scope mouthwash.
Right.
You know, nobody thinks about if somebody, like, I can't even eat vanilla cookies because it has the vanilla extract in it.
Right.
Which is 45% alcohol. So right. I can't even, you know, I can't even have some salad dressings. And this is 35 years. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize that there's alcohol in everything, or not everything, but in a lot of stuff that you don't even think about eating. So sobriety is very hard, but if you can conquer the man or the woman in the mirror, you can conquer the world.
So what would you say going through it? I mean, you were doing your 360 days straight, you said, of AA meetings. What was in your mind starting out? Like, were you angry? Were you mad? Were you doing it just because you had to? Was it, I want to? And what was your situation?
Well, the first day I got there, because I'm still drunk You know, I'm still hungover. I'm pissed off because I'm 20 years old, you know, and I get there and back then it was like 40 and 50 year old guys. And I'm drinking nasty coffee, eating nasty cookies. And I'm like, God, I'm like, this has got to be the worst. But then when they spoke and then they told my story, that's when I was like, I'm home.
Yeah.
I'm home. And they always, and I'm an old school recovery guy. You know, even with my sponsor, my people I sponsor, I'm like, listen, sit down, shut up. You don't know anything. Just listen and you'll get the program. And that's what they told me. Sit down, shut up, make coffee, get there early, stay late. And I just never stopped going because it worked for me. That not following the 12 steps led me out of my house. Following the 12 steps led me into my brand new house.
Right.
So for me, it's easy for me to, you know, because I just, my theory is I drink, I die.
Right.
Next, there is no other. And the funny thing is, like, if I go look on to my left, I have a refrigerator full of beer, wine. It's everybody else's stuff. It's not mine.
Right.
And, you know, once you realize that you don't do something, it becomes a lot easier. Like, I'm happily married. I love my wife. You know, cheating on my wife, it's not even an option. So yeah, if it's something in your life is not an option, then it may make it a lot easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I call it the non-negotiables. It's just not negotiable. Some stuff you can talk yourself out of just about anything, but when you have those non-negotiables, it's not even an option to try to think about it in your own mind. You just don't do it. Period.
People say I just don't drink, or like when I like if we go out to dinner and you know sometimes the waiters they try to get you drink to you know get some drinks and I'm like, listen, I'm allergic to alcohol, I break out in handcuffs. And most of them laugh and they're like, oh, I get it. You're one of Bill W guys. I'm like, that's me. Just give me the Diet Coke and we're going to be good. So for me, you know, sobriety is, it's just a way of life now. It's just something I just don't drink.
Yep. So what advice would you give to younger people? Because the peer pressure, like you said, I mean, going, you shouldn't at 50 years old or whatever, have to go to a restaurant and have to explain yourself. To me, that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, I work in restaurants and I'm not, if someone comes to me and says, I want a Diet Coke, I don't say why, have a beer. You know what I mean? But I think that's the culture nowadays.
Well, like when I was 20, like I said, I wasn't even able to legally drink. And the hardest thing was for me was like, I can't go hang out with my friends anymore. I can't go to the places that I used to do, you know, because, and that was my fault. It wasn't their fault. Like we would go over to their house. We would party Friday and Saturday and Sunday, you know, we party a little bit, but 8 o'clock, they're like, all right, guys, you know, you got to go. And I got school and I got work. And I'm like, what do you mean? We still got alcohol. Where are you going? So I ruined that whole thing. So that wasn't their fault. But then I had to realize, you know, I had to get away from people, places and things. And I had to find something else to fill the hole in my soul.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people, young people, they're like, well, what do I do now? But, you know, there's a lot of things, especially if you have this thing in your hand, your whole world opens up to you as long as you have a smartphone.
Yeah.
So you're not alone. Yeah. There's millions of people that are going through the same thing you're going, like me. You know, we're all going through the same shit.
Yeah. I mean, and I like that you said that you had to find something else to fill your hole, because a lot of people think they can just stop drinking and then it's going to be instantly okay. But it's like, well, first of all, you have to find something healthy to replace that time with, because, you know, you can't, or else you literally will just go from one dopamine hit to the next, which could be drinking, could be gambling, it could be eating, it could be whatever it could be. It's going to be something until you fill it with something productive.
And the funny thing is, like, for a while, I stopped going to meetings because I'm like, okay, I like going to men's meetings because if I have a problem and I want to talk about marital issues, whatever, I can open up with a bunch of guys, you know. And I don't like the whole everybody trying to hook up with this one, 13th stepping, and I'm like, yeah, nah, I don't do that. But I would go to the meetings for a while, and then I would realize all these people are doing is not drinking. That's not fun. You know, if, just because you're not drinking, you know, you don't have a wife, you don't have a house, you don't have a car, you don't have a business, all you're doing is not drinking. Well, what's the sense of living if all you're doing is not drinking?
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like a lot of people think sobriety is a hard, you know, it's bad. Like, I'm going on a cruise. I'm going to the Bahamas. I'm going to hang out in Atlantis. But I also know that there's AA meetings on the cruise ship. So I can still go to Atlantis and still go on a cruise ship and go swimming with the dolphins and jet skiing and all that. I can have fun. I just don't have to have an alcohol. And I remember what I did. Now I don't have to, you know, and I don't have to remember lies because I don't have to tell them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's a huge part. Huge part.
And so, I get to watch other people, and I get to watch other people act like assholes. So it's great. Yep.
Yeah, you get to people watch the ignoramusness, yes, and the exactly. Yeah, and the self-destruction, and yeah, like it's not fun, but it's entertaining. But yeah, you look back at it now, and you're like, wow, was that me? Like that was definitely me.
Yep.
So what? Tell us what you're doing now. I know you're called the Comeback Coach. Tell us about that.
Well, we have. I think I looked at it this morning. We're a top 0.5% globally ranked podcast in the world, with over 2 million downloads. I got a brand new book that's coming out May 1st. And right now I'm just trying to get on as many podcasts and talk to as many people and let them know, hey, if this I dropped out of school at ninth grade.
Okay.
So if this ninth grade dropout can write a 2-time best-selling book, top podcaster, stay sober, have a beautiful marriage, have a beautiful kid, business, a house, anybody can do it. And all you got to do is say, today I decide I don't want that life anymore. Because, you know, when I woke up on 9/11, I was one person. When I woke up on 9/11, I was Rick. When I went to bed on the night of 9/11, I was Richard. I was a totally different person. So you can change. You just have to make that decision to change. And it all comes down to the three most important words in the English language. Today, I decide. I decide to be a victim, I decide to be a victor. It's up to me. Like, you can never get drunk if you never have the first sip.
Right.
I can't remember any time I've ever, somebody just ran in my room, opened up my mouth and poured liquor down my throat.
No.
I don't remember it. I wish they would have, but they didn't. So it was all my choice. And if I don't have the first one, I can never have a hangover again. Never get a DUI again. I'll never get a divorce again as long as I don't do the first one.
So is most of your jail time because of DUIs and because of drinking, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it was all, and it was all. Now, one thing I tell everybody is, if you know me, if anybody knows me, I'm the realest person you're ever going to meet. Everything is my fault. And once you learn to take ownership of your shit, then everything becomes hunky-dory, because whether I fail or whether I succeed, it's my fault.
Yep.
And like when I had a conversation with Mr. Ed Milette, and we were talking, and he said, you know what, Rich? Nothing has ever happened to you. Everything has happened for you. And everything is a teachable moment. So are you going to have a mess, or are you going to have a message? So for me, I take full responsibility of anything that's ever happened. It's nobody's fault. It's all my fault. And so, like I said, you know, a lot of people don't want to take that response. Oh, my daddy, my mom. No, you're 50 years old. You know, you make the choice of having that drink. You make the choice of doing the drug. Now, you're not responsible of, you know, if somebody does something bad to you now, but how you react.
Absolutely.
Is 100%. Or accepting to say, okay, you can keep abusing me. Then it's your fault if you let it keep on happening. But like I said, I think responsibility is probably the biggest thing to, you know, to to change your life is to be responsible. If you're broke, if you're poor, if you're uneducated, it's your fault. I mean, if you have a smartphone, but you're still dumb, it's your fault. You can learn anything on this. YouTube will teach you almost anything. So if you don't have enough money, if you're broke, if you don't have this, it's all your fault.
Yep. And it's a power. That's a powerful message to hear for some people, because it's very easy to say, well, my mother did this and my mother did that, and that's why I'm doing this. It's like, okay, so what? My mother did terrible things to me too. And now I'm choosing to help other kids not have to deal with those terrible things, or have a voice, or speak up, or whatever it is. Because like you said, it doesn't happen to you. It happened for you. And you that's one of my, I love that quote. That's one of my three favorites, but that's words to live by. You know, stop
something
feeling sorry.
I learned, because there's somebody in my family, and I'm not going to mention her name, but one is an alcoholic and the brother doesn't drink at all. And I asked both of them, you know, why are you an alcoholic? Well, because my father was. And I asked the other one that doesn't drink, well, why don't you drink? Because my father drank. So, you know, they just made different choices.
Yep. So, different choices,
you can
and
make
you can
a different choice. Same household, you know, same household. Say, they grew up the same way, and they use the same reasoning, is because my father did it.
Yep.
So
exactly.
It's just the choices that we make. Because if you want to know where you're going to be 5 years from today, it's the choices that you make now. Mm-hmm. That's where you're going to be 5 years from now.
Yep.
Right?
And just, you can't wallow in the past. You can't get back time. You can't fix things that you did before. All you can do is make better choices starting right now. That's a great message for people. So tell us, if you had to pick three things, just something to leave the people with, like, what would you say? I know you just said be a victor, not a victim. Give us a couple more. I love your quotes.
Probably, you know, I'm a big Gary V guy. He, like I said, he started me off on all this, the book and the podcast. I think number one, you got to be real. You know, you have to be authentic. And people know, if you're friends of mine, I was struggling big time yesterday. For some reason, I woke up struggling with imposter syndrome. You know, and I'm like, wait a minute, I got 2 million downloads. I got one of the top shows in the world. And why are you having imposter syndrome? So I put on my social media, hey guys, I'm struggling today. You know, I'm feeling like imposter syndrome's kicking my ass. And that's what I wrote on my page. And a lot of people are just like, it's okay. You know, we all go through that. And I wrote in the comments, I'm like, you know, if you're struggling with this, we're all struggling with this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that number two, I think, would probably be is be real and don't be that fake authentic person. Everybody's like, oh, he's so authentic. But then when you see him out, you know, at a restaurant, he treats his wife like crap.
Right.
Or they treat other people like crap. Well, for me, I'm the same goofy guy on camera, off camera. You'll always see me joking around, having fun with my kids. I still kiss my boys. My boys are 19 and 20. I still hug and kiss my boys. So I'm going to be the same way on camera or off. And the last thing I think is, think about legacy.
Mm.
You know, like for me, I wrote my own obituary out last year. So I actually have a written obituary. And the reason why I wrote it, because I want to be that man in the obituary that I wrote about. So I want to be the husband, you know, the great husband, the great father, the great person in my community. So, you know, and Gary, I said, because when I met Gary, I said, Gary, give me something that I can take, that I can use. And he's like, your legacy will always be more valuable than your currency.
Mm.
And that hit me. So now everything I do, even this interview, I'm being interviewed a couple more times a day. It's all about legacy. You know, it's all about leaving the world a better place than when we got here.
Yep.
So
I think maybe
that might touch somebody. Don't do it for you. You know, do it for your kids. Do it for your wife. Do it for your future grandkids. You know, or generations down the road. Like for me, I wrote my book. Hopefully that my daughter's daughter's daughters are going to be able to read her book and say, well, that's what grandpa was all about.
Yeah.
So.
And I like
that was my top three things.
That's pretty cool. And the idea of writing your own obituary, because what do you want people to say? And then, okay, if this is what I want them to write when I'm gone, when I can't stick the words in their mouth, I need to act it and walk the walk right now. So love it. Absolutely love it. So people want to listen to your show. Tell us again the name of your show, because I'm sure
it's
they will.
It's called Vertical Momentum. We are on the first 8 pages of Google. So if you just type in Vertical Momentum Podcast, we're everywhere. And it's not because of me, guys. It's not because of me whatsoever. It's all because of my guests. I mean, we've had people like David Meltzer, the authors of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, come on. Actors, authors, it's all because of them. It's not because of me. But you get something out of every episode because it talks about how everybody that is successful has been through hell somewhere down the road.
Yep.
And whether you're the CEO, whether you're the janitor, we're all dealing with the same shit.
Yep.
So that's what the show is all about is, you know, well, this is where we were. This is where we are now, and this is how we got there. So everything, I love the way you asked, you know, your show is a teaching podcast. That's why I love your show. But I listen to a lot of shows, and there's no actions taking steps. There's no steps for action. For like my show, I ask everybody, well, what are your top three things that somebody could do today,
right,
to start changing their life? Because if you're just listening to a show or reading a book where there's no action, you just wasted your time. So that's why I love your show, by the way. And if your numbers have gone up, it's my fault. I take full responsibility because I've been binge listening to every show you put out.
Oh, have you really?
Yes, that's yes, great. I have.
Well, you
it's
know,
in my,
and I
it's
agree.
It's in my top 10 podcasts.
You what?
It's in my top 10 podcasts that I listen to.
Oh, well, thank
day.
You so much. That's pretty cool. But I agree because I can give these stories, but if I'm not saying, okay, how exactly did you do it or what can you give them, then you're just listening to a story that, yes, it might have started sad, ended happy, but I need something tangible to put my hands on. If I go to a workshop or a training or anything, I want something to walk away with, like, you know, a question to ask yourself to see if there's more to explore or whatever it is. I totally agree with that.
Yep. So.
Well, I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I really appreciate you and love what you do. And thank you to the listeners for being here and just.
But now I want to throw something out for
yes.
your audience only, and for you. If they give you their email address and you send it to me, they'll get my book for free.
Okay.
I'll just send it right to their email. And also they'll get an hour of my time. If they're struggling in life, business, health, finances, they get an hour of my time whenever they want, just because they listen to this show.
That's amazing. And I'm definitely going to let people know that for sure. So, that is a very generous offer. Thank you, Richard.
Have Appreciate a great week.
Okay. You too. And for everybody else out there listening, that's Richard Kaufman. And he is definitely the coach, the comeback coach. You have a blessed day, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. If this episode resonated with you, or you think someone else could benefit from what you heard, why not share it with someone you care about? Let's heal from our past and take back control of our lives together. If you're interested in learning more, head on over to www.tammyvincent.com for a free chapter of my book, Surviving Alcoholic Parents. While you're there, be sure to catch my invigorating seminar, Awakening Your Authentic Self. Together, we will rewrite our stories and turn trials into triumphant smiles. Until next time, keep embracing your strength, keep being you, and know that you are more than enough. You are way more than enough right here, right now.